This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Book Digest, summarizing books with buzz for busy people. I'm your host, Nettie Hartsock, and I'm glad to be here. We're going to be focusing on business books in general for this podcast and this series, and we'll focus on the latest and hottest titles, along with the classic mixed in here and there for you Drucker fans. And then every show, I'll also have a just for fun fiction book, because it's good to read both with the right brain and with the left brain. Erica says that if you want to compete with the market leaders and grow your business, you've got to have an all-star staff that knows your company's mission and has the skills to implement it. The chapter on the gardener's mind explains the mindset of a successful coach, which is very similar to that of a successful gardener, believing in people's potential and being dedicated to helping them grow. Did you know what POP stands for? Process, a fun, fascinating, and strategic approach for making your message purposeful, original, and pithy. POP! One of the keys in Sam's book is that she provides an awful lot of interesting case studies. One of my favorites is a flex your topic so they see what you're saying. So part of branding in terms of POP is when people see it, they get it. So visualizing what kind of brand you want associated with your company is just as important as writing it down in a contextual form. So let's take a look at our first book. The first book is called Growing Great Employees: Turning Ordinary People into Extraordinary Performers by Erica Anderson. This book is key if you're a manager who's tired of doing things the way that you've done them forever, and you're tired of losing great employees to better opportunities outside your company. Erica says that if you want to compete with the market leaders and grow your business, you've got to have an all-star staff that knows your company's mission and has the skills to implement it. How do you achieve this? You grow great employees. One of the best things about this book is that the way that she explains your company is in terms of gardening. She goes through several chapters where she tells you how to prepare your soil. Interestingly enough, that first chapter is how to listen. It's Erica's contention that a lot of managers don't really know how to listen, and that's one of the most powerful assets any manager can have. If you focus in on that skill, you can use it to motivate and build commitment among your employees. If they know that you're listening to them and really understand where they're coming from, then they will rise to what you instill in them in terms of the vision of the company. Another chapter that's great is Erica's chapter on interviewing. It's interesting because she titles this chapter Picking Your Plants. I particularly like it because I think we can all relate to picking the right plants to have a garden thrive. And Erica talks about, again, the factor of listening when you're interviewing people, how the basic principles of which most managers apply in terms of finding the right employee need to be retooled. You're there to discover the potential employee's gifts, not to find out why they want that job, but to find out if they're going to be good in your garden. Another thing that Erica really focuses on is having the gardener's mind. What that means as a leader is to have a certain mindset so that you trust in your skills. She calls it, they trust in the power of nature. They know that rain falls, the sun shines, and seeds grow. They know that nature and their plants will do a lot of the work, and that they'll need to help nature along and take best advantage of what nature offers. The chapter on the gardener's mind explains the mindset of a successful coach, which is very similar to that of a successful gardener, believing in people's potential and being dedicated to helping them grow. Erica uses the gardening metaphor to show why this mindset is critical to being a leader. One of the other chapters that I particularly like is Turning Your Plants into Gardeners. Erica is a great believer that plants have the potential to become leaders. What that means is helping your employees focus on developing new skills and abilities, including management and leadership, will bide them well for someday becoming good gardeners in your organization. And employees that are fed and watered and taken care of stay loyal to that garden longer than ones who feel like they're not receiving any attention outside of what their job says they should be doing. Another final chapter that I particularly enjoyed was her chapter around plants not thriving. Even great leaders can have some plants that just won't thrive. The chapter gives a great insight into how you can use Erica's management decision tree to determine if you've done the best that you can with an employee and they're still not going to thrive, how you can lessen the damage to the rest of your organization and take the difficult step of termination in a way that's fair. This book can be read on many levels. I particularly enjoyed the metaphor about the learning and the mixed bouquet that Erica presents of the employees that you're going to have in your garden. It brings back to mind the children's rhyme, "How does your garden grow?" With this book, your garden has a great success of growing to fruition, and you have a wonderful opportunity to seed your plants so that your outreach is much further and you can compete on a global level. We're going to take a short break here to support our sponsors. This is Nettie Hartsock, and I'm your host for Book Digest, summarizing books with buzz for busy people. When we come back, we're going to talk about Pop by author Sam Horn. Stand out in any crowd. We'll be back in about 10 seconds.
Listen to Living Green, Effortless Ecology for Everyday People, a weekly online audio program featuring champions of sustainable living at personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and I'm Nettie Hartsock, and we're talking about business books. Before the break, we talked about Erica Anderson's Growing Great Employees. Now we're going to talk about a book by Sam Horn, which is titled Pop, Stand Out in Any Crowd. Seth Godin said of this book, "Words matter, every one of them, and this book will revolutionize the way you use them." Sam is a successful business consultant, keynote speaker, and training workshop leader. Sam has worked with clients like NASA, Hewlett-Packard, Four Seasons Resorts, Kaiser Permanente. Her successful books include Tung Fu, Concentrate, Take the Bully by the Horns, and What's Holding You Back. Sam is an expert at POP. Did you know what POP stands for? Process. A fun, fascinating, and strategic approach for making your message purposeful, original, and pithy. POP! To generate instant intrigue and word-of-mouth buzz. This book covers the 9 key questions to clarify your vision and your purpose and your branding. The Eureka Moment, why people love to discover the next new thing. Particular to this discussion, I'll cover her Jerry Maguire test and her use it or lose it. When you think it, ink it. One of the keys in Sam's book is that she provides an awful lot of interesting case studies. One of my favorites is a fleck your topic so they see what you're saying. Sam talks about a study that was done by a PR expert, Marilyn Mobley, who wrote about a study done with preschoolers. When asked what sounds animals made, they gave the usual answers. Sheep, baa, cows, moo, horses, neigh, and so on. When asked what sound ducks made, they said, a fleck. Wow! Talk about a brand-owning mindshare, as Sam says. She gives a great example about what happened behind the Affleck branding. This insurance company faced a daunting challenge. Their name was nonsensical. What is an Affleck? People know what a Mustang is. They know what a landscaped architect does. But when your name is a string of letters that stands for something meaningful and known only to you, it's hard for people to feel warm and fuzzy about it. Why would people want to give their money to a firm when they don't even know what its name means? Sam goes on to explain that Affleck's brilliant advertising team took a name that was difficult to relate to and tied their grouping of five letters to something people could see and hear. What does Affleck sound like? What does it look like? Well, with a little stretch, it looks and sounds like a duck. Ergo, Affleck equals duck. Because of their TV commercials and print ads featuring a duck quacking, Affleck, people now associate that abstract business name with a cute duck, as Sam says. A similar thing is, what does Geico mean to you? Sam points out that before the lizard, Geico really didn't mean all that much. But now that there's a funny creature saying Geico, you associate it with something. So part of branding in terms of pop is when people see it, they get it. So visualizing what kind of brand you want associated with your company is just as important as writing it down in a contextual form. One of the things Sam recommends is to use inflection. Now, I know as a Southern gal that inflection can also be used against you, but I would say that using it to help make your message pop is important. Sam talks about the famous radio broadcaster, Paul Harvey. And now for the rest of the story and the distinctive way he closes the show. This is Paul Harvey. Good day. Now that's branding. I also like Sam's points on getting your slogan in a beat that's easy to repeat. Let me say that again. How to put your slogan in a beat that's easy to repeat. If you say your slogan with a beat, people will remember it and repeat it. Another great point from pop is to how to use the pop question technique. What that means is, wherever you're at in your branding, you can apply these steps to see if it's resonating with the people that you want to brand to. One of the things that Horn says is to review all your slogans, pitches, and introductions that you've created thus far. Are they declarative statements? If so, ask yourself if phrasing them as questions might do a better job of engaging your target audience's interest. The other thing she says is, ask the questions and then notice your responses. Why should I buy this? Why should I work with you? What do you do? What could you ask that would elicit some free information so you could then customize your response? The other thing that Sam really ties in this book is reading people's physical responses. She talks about preparing a variety of elevator introductions and using it to read people's body language and gauge their level of enthusiasm. Read their body language to see what their response is and see if what you've said is interesting to them. One of the best chapters is hers on increased likability with laugh lines. She has a great quote from Art Bookwell, "I learned that when I made people laugh, they liked me. This is a lesson I'll never forget." In this chapter, Horn talks about Southwest Airlines being famous for its quick-witted pilots and flight attendants. In that intensely competitive industry, they have focused on that because they believe it helps them endear them to the travelers who rack up tens of thousands of air miles every day. If you can use the power of humor, you will elicit a powerful response. Sam says, if you want to be humor original, you can follow the advice given to brides at their wedding and include something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. Another thing that I really think is needed in this day of authenticness and openness that the internet Web 2.0 demands is to be honest. Do you have good stories about your company? Do you have stories that make your company stand out from others, minus all the marketing speak that we sometimes fall into? Start with those and then move forward. The last takeaway I want to say about this book is that you should establish the tried and true always with a consistent and congruent messaging around your company. If something does really measure up, if something does get a great response, you're at the start. You're on the stage to building new customer initiatives because you've gotten someone's attention. So Sam says to really try to appeal to classic and current sources. Make sure that you're funny and philosophical. Steer clear of common things. Be the leader in the pop, and you'll find that you'll reach more people and be more engaged by the business people that you want to tap into. I'm Nettie, and we're talking about Book Digest, summarizing books with buzz for busy people. I'm glad you're still here. The last book that we covered was Sam Horn's Pop. I hope you got some good information about it, and I'd love for you to post some inspiring pop stories of your own on the Book Digest blog. So listen at the end, and I'll give you the website for that. Let's move on to our next book, Fired Up or Burned Out. This book was written by Michael Lee Stallard, who's the founder of the E Pluribus Partners. The book is titled How to Reignite Your Team's Passion, Creativity, and Productivity. It's a book about doing business better. It's tapping into the power of connected organization. What that means is creating a framework for your employees that they feel fired up instead of burned out. Now, how do you go about doing that? The first way you go about doing that, according to the authors, is to identify the case for connection at work. It seems like there's a disconnection and disengagement at a lot of our jobs right now. We're living separate lives, and people do not have a good work and life balance. So one of the things the authors believe is that you've got to increase the engagement at both work and at life and at relationships so that, again, people feel more connected. They're more productive in their jobs, and they're less likely to leave the organization for a competitor. One of the things that connection does is transforms a dog-eat-dog environment into a sled dog team that pulls together, according to the authors. And how does connection feel? What is it? It is present when you feel energy, empathy, affirmation. If it's not there, you sometimes feel absent, you experience neutral or negative feelings towards your day, and you don't get as much work done. One of the things that is cited in the book is a 2004 study by the Corporate Executive Board that concluded that most committed employees outperform the average employee by 20% and are 87% less likely to leave their organization. This was from a study of 1,500 companies over 4 years. What that means is there's an urgency of connection. With the global environment that we all have to competitively work under now, it's more and more important that within our own internal company structure, we stay connected. One of the things I really, really liked about this book is that it gives you a roadmap to establish the connection culture. The first place it talks about this is where it says the element number one that's vital is to have a vision. A vision exists in an organization when everyone is motivated by the mission, united by its values, and proud of the organization's reputation. One of the samples the book cites that I think is really interesting is Disney's vision. Disney's vision is to make people happy. And I can tell you that last May, when I went out to cover an Adobe PDF conference and watch Al Gore speak, my kids were happy to be at Disney. I was happy to be at Disney. One of the things that Disney does in terms of their corporate culture is they connect their employees. They make sure that their managers are connected to their employees. They allow their company employees to give survey answers and respond anonymously to issues that they might be facing, and they act on those. That brings connectivity to your culture. Another thing that this book talks about is you've got to have value. Everyone has to feel valuable in a company in order to have a connection culture. The great example they give is David Neeleman, who's the CEO of JetBlue. He meets 95% of new employees on their first day of work. From day one, he demonstrates he values them. The book says he also sets aside one day each week to travel on JetBlue flights, where he serves beverages and gets down on his hands and knees to clean planes. His actions show that he doesn't devalue the work done by the people with the least prestigious jobs at JetBlue. Throughout the course of each day, the high-energy and outgoing Neeleman is constantly connecting with crew members and customers. He knows that connection is important. In fact, he has said, according to the book, that most airlines treat passengers like cattle. JetBlue is different because its crew members make personal connections with passengers. Value helps you create that connectivity in your culture. Another great chapter in this book is how to dial up the value. So going back to Neeleman, the CEO of JetBlue, he gives a workplace environment for employees where they feel valued. He refers to his colleagues at JetBlue as fellow crew members rather than employees. He meets with 95% of them on the first day. He makes a human connection with as many people as possible. This book also has a lot of ideas around community, on applying what you learn in corporate culture to connect yourself and your employees together. One of the things I really like is it gives you a 12-week plan to apply this and start reaping the benefits. We'll be back in just a minute to cover our last book.
Listen to Coaching the Life Coach, Business and Marketing Strategies for Growth of Transformational Practices with Jason McClain, your guide in the 21st century marketplace on personallifemedia.com.
Hi. I'm back. This is Nettie with Book Digest, summarizing books with buzz for busy people. I wanted to give you the surprise book, the just for fun great book recommendation. And today's recommendation is Richard Ford's The Lay of the Land. This book won a New York Times Book Review Best Book of the Year and has been a national bestseller. It's published by Vintage and was published in 2006. If you haven't read any of Ford's books, I would suggest that you could actually start with this book and then work backward. He's written Independence Day, Women with Men, The Sports Writer, The Ultimate Good Luck, and A Piece of My Heart. Ford is an amazing writer. The Lay of the Land brings us back to Ford's hero, who's a sports writer and a real estate agent, husband and father, Frank Bascom, who's looking at the end of his life during the year 2000, and seeing maybe different paths he could have taken. One of the things that this achieves is a remarkable, real feeling of this man. You follow Frank, you want to know what he is going to do. His wife's left him, one of his kids are estranged from him, but there's beauty in the insights that he's willing to give himself at this point in his life. He understands that he's aging. It's a great insight into connecting family, losing family, and coming back to a bigger place of family. I cannot recommend this book enough, or anything by Richard Ford. And don't be daunted by the 485 pages. It's a great plain read. It also really focuses around some beautiful country in New York, where Ford focuses a lot of his writing. If you're a fan of the New York style of writing, this is more of a Southern style, but he's in New York. So you'll enjoy it for both those distinctions. We'll be right back to finish the show.
Listen to Beauty Now, the intersection of cosmetic surgery, longevity, and biomedical innovation for confident decisions in preventative aging on personallifemedia.com.
We're back. I'm so glad that you joined me today. And before we leave, I wanted to give you some questions to think about. What is one thing that you think would benefit people in terms of reading a business book? What are things that you look for in business books? I hope that you'll post those on the Book Digest blog, and I'll post an excerpt about this wonderful 30 minutes that we spent at this show. Let's talk again about the latest and greatest business books next week. And let's review the books that we covered today. Growing Great Employees, Turning Ordinary People into Extraordinary Performers by Erica Anderson. Pop by Sam Horn, Why Some Ideas Catch On While Others Fade Away, How to Stand Out in Any Crowd. Fired Up or Burned Out by Michael Lee Stallard. And finally, Richard Ford, The Lay of the Land, the national bestseller fiction book that's 485 pages, but well worth the read. That brings us to the end of our show. I wanted to thank our sponsors, Audible.com, and encourage you to listen to Books on Tape. And I also wanted to tell you that text and transcripts of the show will be available on the Personal Life Media Network. You can visit our website at www.personallifemedia.com. This is your host, Nettie Hartsock, committed to summarizing books with buzz for busy people. I'm glad you're here, and I look forward to us reading and listening again next week. Bye!
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.